Chapter 51. Vaughn said goodbye to her husband, and she and Reacher walked back along the dirty corridors and through the dismal lounge to the entrance hall. The guy in the gray sweatshirt said, "Goodbye, Mrs. Vaughn." They walked out to the carriage circle and headed for the car. Reacher leaned against its flank, and Vaughn kept on going. He waited until she was small in the distance, and then he pushed off the car and headed back to the entrance. Up the steps, in the door. He crossed to the hutch and asked, "Who's in charge here?" The guy in the gray sweatshirt said,
"I am, I guess. I'm the shift supervisor."
Reacher asked, "How many patients here?"
17,
the guy said.
"Who are they?"
"Just patients, man. Whatever they send us."
"You run this place according to a manual?"
"Sure. It's a bureaucracy, like everywhere."
"You got a copy of the manual available?"
"Somewhere." "You want to show me the part where it says it's okay to keep the rooms dirty and have mouse shit in the corridors?" The guy blinked and swallowed and said,
"There's no point cleaning, man. They wouldn't know. How could they? This is the vegetable patch."
"Is that what you call it?"
"It's what it is, man."
"Wrong answer. This is not the vegetable patch. This is a veteran's clinic. And you're a piece of shit."
"Hey, lighten up, dude. What's it to you?"
"David Robert Vaughn is my brother."
"Really?"
"All veterans are my brothers."
"He's brain dead, man."
"Are you?"
"No."
"Then listen up, and listen very carefully. A person less fortunate than yourself deserves the best you can give, because of duty and honor and service. You understand those words? You should do your job right, and you should do it well simply because you can, without looking for notice or reward. The people here deserve your best, and I'm damn sure their relatives deserve it."
"Who are you, anyway?"
"I'm a concerned citizen," Reacher said, "with a number of options. I could embarrass your corporate parent. I could call the newspapers or the TV. I could come in here with a hidden camera. I could get you fired. But I don't do stuff like that. I offer personal choices instead, face to face. You want to know what your choice is?"
"What?"
"Do what I tell you. With a cheery smile.
Or?"
"Or become patient number 18. The guy went pale. Reacher said, "Stand up."
"What?"
"On your feet. Now."
"What?"
"Stand up now, or I'll make it so you never stand up again." The guy paused a beat and got to his feet. "At attention," Reacher said. "Feet together, shoulders back, head up, gaze level, arms straight, hands by your sides, thumbs in line with the seams of your pants." Some officers of his acquaintance had barked and yelled and shouted. He had always found it more effective to speak low and quiet, enunciating clearly and precisely as if to an idiot child, bearing down with an icy stare. That way he had found the implied menace to be unmistakable. Calm, patient voice, huge physique. The dissonance was striking. It was a case of whatever worked. It had worked then, and it was working now. The guy in the sweatshirt was swallowing hard and blinking and standing in a rough approximation of parade ground order. Reacher said, "Your patients are not just whatever they send you. Your patients are people. They served their country with honor and distinction. They deserve your utmost care and respect." The guy said nothing. "This place is a disgrace. It's filthy and chaotic. So listen up. You're going to get off your skinny ass, and you're going to organize your people, and you're going to get it cleaned up. Starting right now. I'm going to come back. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. Maybe next month. And if I can't see my face in the floor, I'm going to turn you upside down and use you like a mop. Then I'm going to kick your ass so hard your colon is going to get tangled up in your teeth. Are we clear? The guy paused and shuffled and blinked. Then he said,
okay,
with a cheery smile. The guy forced a smile. Bigger. The guy forced dry lips over dry teeth.
That's good.
And you're going to get a haircut. And every day, you're going to shower. And every time Mrs. Vaughn comes by, you're going to stand up and welcome her warmly. And you're going to personally escort her to her husband's room. And her husband's room is going to be clean. And her husband is going to be shaved. And the window is going to be sparkling. And the room is going to be full of sunbeams. And the floor is going to be so shiny, Mrs. Vaughn is going to be in serious danger of slipping on it and hurting herself. Are we clear?
Okay.
Are we clear?
Yes.
Completely?
Yes.
Crystal?
Yes.
Yes what?
Yes, sir.
You've got 60 seconds to get started, or I'll break your arm. The guy made a phone call while still standing, and then used a walkie-talkie. And 50 seconds later, there were three guys in the hallway. Dead on 60 seconds, a fourth guy joined them. A minute later, they had buckets and mops out of a maintenance closet, and a minute after that, the buckets were full of water, and all five guys were casting about as if facing an immense and unfamiliar task. Reacher left them to it. He walked back to the car and set off in pursuit of Vaughn. He caught up with her a mile down the DOD road. She slid in next to him, and he drove on, retracing their route, through the pines, through the hills. She said,
thank you for coming.
No problem.
You know why I wanted you to?
Yes.
Tell me.
You wanted someone to understand why you live like you live and do what you do.
And?
You wanted someone to understand why it's okay to do what you're going to do next.
Which is what?
Which is entirely up to you. And either way is good with me.
I lied to you before.
I know.
Do you?
He nodded at the wheel. You knew about Thurman's military contract and the MP base. The Pentagon told you all about them and the halfway PD, too. Makes sense that way. I bet it's right there in your department phone book, in your desk drawer. M for military police.
It is.
But you didn't want to talk about it, which means that it's not just any old military scrap getting recycled there.
Isn't it?
Reacher shook his head. It's combat wrecks from Iraq. Has to be. Hence the New Jersey plates on some of the incoming trucks from the port facilities there. Why would they bypass Pennsylvania and Indiana for regular scrap? And why would they put regular scrap in closed shipping containers? Because Thurman's place is a specialist operation. Secret. Miles from nowhere.
I'm sorry.
Don't be, I understand. You didn't want to talk about it. You didn't even want to think about it. That's why you tried to stop me from ever going there. Get over it, you said. Move on, there's nothing to see.
There are blown-up Humvees there. They're like monuments to me. Like shrines. To the people who died. Or nearly died.
Then she said,
and to the people who should have died.
They drove on across the low slopes of the mountains, back to I-70, back toward the long loop near the Kansas line. Reacher said, "It doesn't explain Thurman's taste for secrecy." Vaughn said,
"Maybe it's a respect thing with him. Maybe he sees them as shrines, too."
"Did he ever serve?"
"I don't think so."
"Did he lose a family member?"
"I don't think so."
"Anyone sign up from despair?"
"Not that I heard."
"So it's not likely to be respect. And it doesn't explain the MPs, either. What's to steal? A Humvee is a car, basically. Armor is plain steel sheet, when it's fitted at all. An M60 wouldn't survive any kind of a blast." Vaughn said nothing. Reacher said, "And it doesn't explain the airplane." Vaughn didn't answer. Reacher said, "And nothing explains all these young guys."
"So you're going to stick around?"
He nodded at the wheel. "For a spell. Because I think something is about to happen. That crowd impressed me. Would they have that much passion for the beginning of something? Or the middle of something? I don't think so. I think they were all stirred up because they're heading for the end of something.